Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to let you know that today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. And I especially want to thank James, and I'll be sending along access to a premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. Also, before we get into today's program, I want to let you know about something we're going to be doing with with our listener support campaign this year. During this year's listener support campaign, we're going to have three Sunday specials where I will replay an episode we've previously played. So if you would like to nominate an episode, and I'm really wanting to do this from your request, email me at box13@greatdetectives.net and put in the subject line, "Play it again, Adam." And this can be a show that you really enjoyed, particularly one you think a listener to the program who's kind of new and may not have heard it might like. Just include "Play It Again, Adam." I'm most interested in requests for specific episodes. I'll also consider requests for series we played. Now, these are things we've previously played. So if you have a preference, let me know. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. As we begin a new Johnny Dollar serial, The Kalin Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Walt Albright, Johnny, Trinity Mutual Limited.
Oh, hiya, Walt. How's your health?
Terrible, since you ask. I got asthma, Johnny.
Again? I thought we agreed
that... Yeah, I know. I get suspicious. I get asthma. Happens every time. Cure me, will you?
What's the case, Walt?
Man named Eddie Kalin, C-A-Y-L-I-N, out in Los Angeles, died yesterday. $5,000 policy, double indemnity.
What did he die of?
Mysterious circumstances.
Well, that's usually a fatal disease, all right,
but... That's it, Johnny. That's all I know. Mysterious circumstances. The body was identified by the widow.
I see.
Our salesman out there can probably help you. He issued the policy only 6 weeks ago, at the request of the widow.
Uh-huh.
6 weeks, one premium paid, check signed by the widow.
Hey, tell me something. Would the beneficiary happen
That's
to be...
That's right, the widow. Oh, this asthma's killing me, Johnny. You gotta do something about it.
All right, Walt. Just call me doctor.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company, Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Kalin matter. Item 1, $198.20, airline fare and incidentals, Hartford to Los Angeles. I hadn't arranged for anybody to meet me when I arrived at L.A., so I picked up my bags and headed for the taxi stand.
Mr. Dollar, please, wait a second.
He was a small man, nervous and fluttery, with a shiny pink nose and a face like a little white rabbit.
I was watching for you out on the ramp, but somehow you must have slipped by. You are Mr. Dollar, aren't you?
Yes, I'm Johnny Dollar, but I don't think I...
Welch. Presley Welch. I'm the...
Oh, yes, you're the district salesman here for Trinity Mutual.
That's right.
Well, how are you, Mr. Welch?
I'm out of breath at the moment. From running, you understand. You see, I'm troubled occasionally by asthma.
You too?
Oh, Do you have asthma, Mr. Dollar?
No, it's a friend of mine in Hartford.
Oh, in Hartford? Oh, well, you don't say.
Yes, in fact, I came out here just to cure it for him.
Out here? Oh, this is the worst place you could have come. Oh, you see, the smog here is so bad. Oh, I do believe you're joshing.
I guess I am at that. Come on, let's add to my expense account with a cup of coffee.
Oh, you really think we should?
Oh, why not? Let's be daring.
All right, let's. I always say if the company can't afford it, come on.
If Presley Wells sold insurance the way he answered questions, it was amazing that he hadn't starved to death years ago. He skidded around the field, flip-flopped overhead, and buzzed the tower, all verbally, of course, and for 15 minutes he didn't touch a wheel to the ground. But when he did finally land, he came in with a swoop.
I do hope you'll accept my apologies, Mr. Dollar, for causing all this trouble, because the whole thing is my fault, of course.
I don't see how. Unless you murdered Eddie Kalin.
I scarcely knew him.
A perfect alibi.
Oh, no. You misunderstand.
Well, I'm just joshing.
What I meant was, I wrote the policy. And I knew better right when I did it.
What do you mean?
Well, Mr. Kalin was quite facetious about the whole procedure. When I tried to point out the retirement security factors in our multiple endowment plan, he actually laughed.
You don't say?
Yes. He said all the security he'd asked for was two aces up and one for the kicker.
Well, what about Mrs. Kalin? What was her attitude?
Well, she was quite serious about it.
Wasn't she the one who actually applied for the policy?
Well, not technically. The beneficiary can't, you know. It's against the rules.
Yeah, I know, but didn't
she... Well, she was the one, yes, that called me and asked me to come out and talk to her husband. And he finally signed the application. But he seemed to regard it as a joke. He only did it as a favor to her. Something of that sort.
And now it's turned out to be a $10,000 favor. What kind of a woman is she, Mr. Welch?
Well, she's quiet, well-mannered, quite charming, I thought. I must confess I felt a good deal of sympathy for her in view of her husband's incessant flippancies.
A real happy fellow, huh?
Oh, positively frivolous, Mr. Dollar. And I should have been warned by his attitude. You know, insurance is a serious business.
Oh, sure. But Eddie Kalin didn't laugh himself to death.
Oh, my. Oh, he died in the fire when his automobile caught fire. Oh, I see what you mean.
Say, tell me, how well did you get to know the Kalins, Mr. Welch?
Oh, hardly at all. I saw Mr. Kalin twice, once at his apartment the evening I sold him the policy, and then 2 weeks later at my office when he came in to sign the paper.
And Mrs. Kalin?
Only once, that evening at their apartment. She phoned me earlier in the week.
And you haven't seen her since her husband's death, huh?
No. I phoned to express my sympathy, but she wasn't available.
She hasn't filed a claim yet.
No, but I knew she would, so I took it on myself to notify Hartford. I just can't help feeling guilty about this, you know.
Yes, so you mentioned.
Yeah, not that I really am, of course, but, you understand.
Oh, sure, I understand. Well, I'll keep in touch. Watch out for comedians, Mr. Welch.
Watch out for who? Oh, comedians, watch out.
Expense account item 3, $6.35. Taxi fare to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel and a second taxi to the West Los Angeles Precinct Police Station. The case wasn't being handled by any of the usual departments, Bureau of Homicide, Missing Persons, and so on. The man in charge was Detective Sergeant Jose Reynosa, unattached, working out of the Central District on special assignment.
Pull up a chair, Mr. Dollar.
When I talked with him in his office, Reynosa told me the reason for it.
Yeah, it's a funny deal, Mr. Dollar. The facts in the case could point a lot of different ways. But the way it stands right now, they just don't add up in any direction. At least not quite.
Do you mind filling me in on some of those facts, Sergeant?
Yeah, I'll be glad to. Last Thursday morning at 4:20 a.m., we got a call relayed through the fire department to investigate a burned automobile out on the Palos Verdes headland, up in the hills above the harbor. The car was lying in the bottom of a ravine below the road, and it was a total loss. Apparently, the gas tank had burst and flooded the whole interior.
Oh, what do you mean, apparently?
Well, the upholstery may have been deliberately soaked with gas. The arson squad isn't sure.
I see.
That's why this case doesn't quite fit in any niche, Mr. Dollar. Might be homicide, might be arson, missing person, or only an accident. We're not sure yet. Anyway, there was a body in the driver's seat, burned to a cinder. Unrecognizable. But we did recover a few personal effects. A signet ring, keychain, wristwatch with the strap burned off, a wallet badly scorched.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the keychain has a metal tag with the address stamped on it.
Yeah, that and a part of the driver's license were the only leads. Eddie Kalin, Argus Terrace Apartments up on Sunnyway Drive above the strip. So we went up there and we ran into a second surprise.
What do you mean?
Nobody home. We attained access, found the place in a mess. There'd apparently been a fight, a chair and a couple of lamps were broken, and there were bloodstains in the living room.
What about Mrs. Kalin?
Located her the next afternoon. She'd been spending a few days at a friend's cabin up at Arrowhead.
Does the friend confirm it?
She was there alone, had her own car. Yeah, she might have come back to town that night, but we got nothing to prove it.
Or disprove it.
Right. Just another one of those maybes. That's all this case is, a collection of maybes.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Tell me, Sergeant, just who was Eddie Kalin?
Eddie Kalin, male, Caucasian, height 5'11", weight 175, complexion olive, hair medium brown, eyes gray, age 34, birthplace Chicago.
What was he? What did he do?
He called himself a promoter. Done a lot of things. Small-time agent for a while, handled a few singers and dancers, vaudeville and nightclubs. Been a bookie off and on, but mainly he was a gambler. Oh, and there's another maybe for you.
Now, how's that?
According to rumor, Eddie was in an all-day poker game. It broke up only a few hours before we found the car. The game was supposedly run by a big-time gambler named Topo Leanley. And the word has it that Eddie cleaned up something over $60,000.
And there was no money found on the body?
Nope.
Have you talked to this Topo?
Sternly. We had him in here for 4 hours this morning. He never heard of Eddie Kalin. Wouldn't know a poker deck if he saw one. Spends all his spare time raising petunias and driving his dear old mother to church.
Like that, huh?
Like that. So there's another one for you. Maybe Topo didn't like the idea of losing 60 grand, decided to get it back. Or maybe the widow wanted the insurance, or it could be that somebody else took a crack at him.
And it's possible, of course, that Eddie mailed the 60,000 to a blonde in Milwaukee and just ran off the road by accident.
Yeah, it's possible. But I don't think so. I don't think it was an accident. I'm always getting cases like this. It's the kind they always put me on. Officially, it's because I'm a college man and majored in criminology, but actually, it's because I'm a Latin, Mexican ancestry, and they know I get certain feelings about a case. Hunches.
Oh? And how do you feel about this one?
It's hokey. Real hokey. And it's murder, not an accident. But beyond that, Ken Savvy. Why don't you poke into it a little, see what you can find? Then maybe we can talk it out some more over a bottle of Muscatel.
Yeah, good idea. Where can I find Mrs. Kalin?
Oh, the widow? Well, that's a good starting point. She's out at their apartment. There's the address.
Okay, thanks. Oh, just one other thing, Sergeant Reynosa. When you gained access to the apartment, I assume the door was locked.
Yeah, it took a little effort.
What kind of a lock? Automatic night latch? Spring cylinder?
No, it was an old-fashioned warden bolt.
Had to be locked with a key.
Mm-hmm. What are you getting at, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, a hunch of my own, Sergeant. Let's save it for the Muscatel. See you later. Expense account item 4, $2. Taxi to the Kalin apartment in West Hollywood. It was shortly after dusk by now, and the lights were coming on all over the city. It was a cool, clear night. Los Angeles at its best. As we swung off the Sunset Strip and started climbing up into the hills, I looked back across the basin toward the dark mass of the Palos Verdes headland that bounded the far side of the great carpet of lights. 3 nights ago, a man had died over there in the darkness, and in a few minutes now, I'd be talking to his widow, or at least to the woman who claimed to be his widow. Keep the change. The Argus Terrace apartments, like most of them in that section, sprawled up the hillside above the street. 6 or 8 apartments on as many different levels, all opening onto a central patio filled with walks, steps, and banks of tropical plantings. The Kalin's apartment was at the top, and I was still 50 feet from it when the door opened and a man came out and hurried toward me. I stepped back against the shrubbery and waited for him. Good evening, Mr. Welch.
Oh, my. Oh, it's you.
Your second visit to Mrs. Kalin?
Second? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. I imagine you've been notified, too.
Notified?
Well, yes. I got a wire from the home office in Hartford this evening. That's why I'm here. Well, Mrs. Kalin has filed under the double indemnity clause of the policy. A claim for $10,000.
She has, huh?
She hopes it can be paid immediately. And without any trouble.
Well, I don't like to dash a lady's hopes, Mr. Welch, but I've got news for the widow.
News?
The claim won't be paid immediately. And before this is over, there's going to be a lot of trouble.
Oh?
In fact, Mr. Welch, if my hunch is right, this claim is not going to be paid at all. Johnny Dollar, Mrs. Kalin. I think Mr. Welch told you I'd be around to see you.
Oh, yes. You're the special investigator the insurance company sent out.
That's right. Mind if I come in?
All right, Mr. Dollar.
Thanks.
And through here. Your company didn't waste any time, did they? Sending you out here, I mean.
No. No more than you did in filing your claim.
I have a right to it. With Eddie gone now, I need the money.
I see.
Sit down.
Thanks. How many keys are there to that door?
Keys? What do you mean?
Your front door. How many keys do you have?
Just one. Of course, Eddie had one. Why? What difference does it make?
Just about enough difference to hang somebody. Cigarette, Mrs. Kalin. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Los Angeles, to the home office, Trinity Mutual Insurance Company Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Kalin matter. Expense account continued.
That's quite a dramatic statement, Mr. Dollar. Are you prepared to name that somebody who may get hanged?
Not at the moment.
Could it be that you don't have a name?
That's possible, of course.
That you're just fishing, so to speak? Bluffing?
Now, why would I do that with you?
I don't know, frankly, but you must have come here for some reason.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a few questions. And you'd be smart to answer them, under the circumstances.
What circumstances? The only one I know anything about is the tragic one of losing my husband only 3 days ago.
You have my sympathy, Mrs. Kalin.
Sergeant Mendoza questioned me for hours. There's nothing more to answer. Will you go now, please?
All right, if you say so. Your unwillingness to cooperate will undoubtedly prejudice your claim for the insurance.
That's all you care about, isn't it? Finding some excuse for not paying off the policy.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Kalin. I'm not crooked and neither is the company. If a claim is legitimate, they pay it, always.
I'm sick of being under suspicion, of being accused.
I'm not accusing you of anything. All I'm after is some information. And if you refuse to give it... Good night, Mrs. Kalin.
No, wait. Wait, Mr. Dollar.
Yes?
Don't go. Come back, please. I'm sorry. I've been under such a strain, on edge. Forgive me.
That's all right. Forget it.
I didn't mean what I said, but I've answered so many questions. And to go through all of it again, well, it seems so pointless.
Yes, I understand. But I've found that people say things to me sometimes that they forget to say to the police. They're more relaxed, I guess. Don't feel they're on the spot so much.
That's true. But I thought it was just me.
No, you're not alone.
I remembered something like that after I talked to Sergeant Mendoza. He wanted to know where Eddie hung out, mostly. Bars and so on. I could only think of two.
What are the names of the bars, Mrs. Kalin?
The Eloines on Beverly Boulevard and the Brass Monkey Inn down on the Strip. What difference does it make? Eddie wasn't killed in a bar.
No, but he probably met people there, talked to them. You see, it's a matter now of trying to reconstruct his life step by step right up to the moment he died. You'd be surprised how much bartenders see and hear and remember.
I suppose they do. All right, Mr. Dollar. I'll be glad to answer any questions you want to ask.
Good.
One thing, though. I wasn't expecting visitors, of course, and I wonder if I could have just 5 minutes to change and freshen up a little.
Oh, well, that's unnecessary. I won't be here long.
But I'd feel better, really. Do you mind?
No, of course not. Go ahead.
I'll be right back. Pour yourself a drink, Johnny.
I had the drink and waited and got ready to brace myself. I've been through this before. Attack plan number 2, a common garden variety. When you can't beat them, join them. And when the joiner is a lovely woman, the maneuver usually starts with some paraphrase of, slip into something more comfortable. Why don't you have a drink? And a sudden switch to first names. And it always ends up with you and I against the world. And couldn't you forget just one little mistake? The little mistake being something like arsenic in a husband's coffee. Yeah, an old familiar pattern. And a first resort just as often as a last. She was gone 20 minutes, not 5, but it was time well spent. A carefully casual touch with her hair. Makeup skillfully softened. Perfume. And one of those frothy nylon jobs designed for that special evening in. Bugle call, charge.
Like another drink, Johnny?
Thanks. I still have some.
I think I could use one. Would you mind?
Sure. What do you have?
Scotch and soda, please. Thanks for being so patient. I feel better now.
More, comfortable, huh?
Something like that. Easy on the soda.
Right. There you are, Mrs. Keelan.
Thanks. Would you do something else for me?
Oh, I'd be happy to. But I don't know your first name.
Touché. All right, what are your questions?
How do you think it happened?
I don't know. Not some enemy, because Eddie didn't have any. Just friends. Too many friends.
Who are some of them?
There's only one who really fits the definition, who's really lasted. His name is Pete Stimer.
Pete Stimer, where can I find him?
You can't. Or at least the police haven't been able to. Nobody's seen him since that night. He's had nightclubs off and on, and in between he makes books.
What about those other friends, the ones who don't last?
They drift in, drift out, depending mostly on whether Eddie had any money at the moment. Of course, there were women.
Oh?
Showgirls, mostly dancers, strippers, so on.
Know any of them?
Hardly.
Ever hear any of their names?
Always made a point not to. Otherwise, I'd have killed him long ago.
Did you kill him, Mrs. Keelan?
No.
Did you love him?
That's a good question. I think I'll have to pass it, though. I don't really know. I feel all hollow, smashed up inside over what happened. And yet there were times I'd have killed him myself if I'd had a gun. But there were other times, too, when it was so crazy sweet you wanted to die. Because you knew it'd never be like that again. Yeah, that's the way it was with Eddie. Mad, mixed up. Like watching a 10-ring circus from the front seat in a roller coaster. That's why women flocked around him. That's why they always ran from him later.
You didn't run.
Could I have another drink?
Oh, sure. Were you trying to run when you went up to Arrowhead by yourself?
Maybe. We had a fight. I ran out and told him I wasn't coming back. And only 3 days later, over the radio, I heard where he'd been found dead. Burned up in his car.
Here you go.
I guess they call it shock. I still can't really believe it, even though I know it's true.
Well, I guess you should know. I understand you're the one who identified the body.
I identified a wallet, burned black, a wristwatch, a ring. All of them things I'd bought for him. They told me there wasn't anything that could be called a body.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Keelan. I know this is painful
it's
for you.
It's all right. Like I said, I can't believe it. Not really.
Do you have any other reason for not believing Eddie is really dead? I mean, besides just a feeling.
No. No, of course not. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, it was just a question, that's all. Forget it.
But I...
Let's get back for a moment to another question. You said you were sure it wasn't some personal enemy who killed your husband. Then what do you think?
Well, the same as the police, I guess. They said Eddie won a lot of money that night from some gambler named Topo Leanley.
You don't know this Topo Leanley, huh?
No, but I suppose that's why Eddie was killed. The money wasn't found, so I guess it was robbery.
Did you know about the money?
Well, it all happened while I was up at Arrowhead, anyway. If Eddie ever had any money, I'd be the last one to know about it. He always spent his money where it would show, where he'd get something for it. Laughs, bells, whistles, balloons going up. Not at home. Never.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
sorry. Forget I said that. I hate women who sit around drooling with self-pity. Like you said. I didn't run. I guess maybe I did love him, Mr. Dollar. Is there anything else you...
No, I guess not. At least not tonight. You look a little beat.
Yes, I'm afraid I am. You'd go around trying to keep up a front, but it's been rough.
Yeah, I imagine. Well,
that business a while ago, fixing myself up a little. This robe. I just had to do it. There are times when a woman has to feel like a woman. in order to feel anything, even sane. I guess you wouldn't understand, though. And I'm afraid I gave the wrong impression.
No, I think I do understand now. And I also think I owe you an apology.
For what?
For walking in here with a preconceived opinion, for being rude, being wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Forgiven. Forgotten. And come back again, please. Regardless.
I might. On one condition.
Yes?
Your first name. Would you mind?
It's Lila.
Thanks, Lila. Good night.
Good night.
I caught a flash of movement from the corner of my eye and whirled around just in time to see somebody slip off the corner of the terrace and edge into the shadows of the shrubbery. I stepped off the porch and moved toward the dark hedge of banana and scrub palm. I was watching for a sudden attack, but nothing happened. Then I heard a slight sound on the next terrace level up the slope, a rustle of bushes, an accidental scrape of a shoe on the cement walk, and I slipped along the walk. I stopped at the head of the steps and listened. Nothing. The only way out of the patio to reach the street was to come past me. I started searching, but even though I was on guard when the attack came, it caught me off balance. All I could see was a dark shape and the glint of metal in an upraised fist. I grabbed the arm and twisted and drove my left into his stomach, and again, he rolled to his knees and raised his right hand, and again I saw the glint of metal. I jumped for him, grabbed his hand, twisted it back, and at the same time I swung my foot and kicked him in the jaw.
Johnny! Johnny, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Call Sergeant Reynosa, would you, Lila? He was out cold. I turned him over on his back and struck a match to get a look at him. He was a big man, stocky, bull-necked, blonde-haired. I slid my hand inside his coat and fished out his wallet and opened it. His name was Topo Leanley.
Now, here is our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, we meet a Latin doll from Santa Monica, an erudite bartender, and a terpsichorean ecdysiast. And they're all in the cast. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Les Crutchfield. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Some good acting here, and the gambler, does save Johnny some trouble by assaulting him, you know, showing up, so that way Johnny doesn't have to go and hunt the guy down. We'll see what's going to happen in this situation in the next episode. I do wonder what Johnny's hunch is. I've got a couple thoughts. I don't actually remember this one, so it'll be interesting to see how this turns out. It was also kind of odd, almost like how immediately hostile and set he was in his theory from the get-go. All right, well, we do have one listener comment here before we go for today. And this one comes from Facebook. And Steve says, listen to several episodes last night. Hard to believe with just radio and budding TV. Hard to believe the level of entertainment was so much better back then with radio and budding to TV than it is today with mass market cable and satellite television. Well, it's interesting. It's something I discussed in my ebook, What Made the Golden Age Shine. And one part of the problem I identified, it's similar to the issue of, if you follow pro sports, the issue of expansion is always a big concern. For example, before expansion started, back in the 60s, you had a grand total of 20 Major League Baseball teams. And with a 25-person roster, you can, you know, you basically, ideally, you should have the top 500 players in the world. When you expand to 30 teams, well, now it's open to the top 750 players in the world, which means you have 250 people playing who wouldn't have had the expansion not started. And that's kind of, you know, that's the sports argument. And the same things happen in entertainment, but on a different level. There were a couple of things, I think were true about entertainment. First, it really had to appeal to a mass market. The ratings of programs like I Love Lucy and Andy Griffith's Show, those were just, drawing just a huge chunk of the population. You had to write something that was good and that would really appeal to the great mass of the public. With the expansions of cable and all this additional content in television, you no longer have to appeal to that mass market. In fact, you can write something that's pretty lowbrow and offensive to 80 to 90% of the population, and you can have a successful program and make money because you don't have the requirements that come when you've got three networks and you really have to draw a big audience if you're going to stay on the air. And so that's part of the reason why the expansion and increasing availability of television and the increasing of channels has actually, I think, made things less quality. But a good question, and thanks so much for your comment. We'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Moto, and then join us back here on Wednesday as we continue the Kalen matter. In the meantime, your comments are appreciated. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.